This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good morning. It's Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. We are no longer at 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays. We are now at 11 a.m. Sundays. So we found out that pretty quick last week. Now we're on at 11 o'clock on Sundays. And there'll be a few more people awake, not just the dads of the world doing and the moms who are doing the diligent chores for the week over the weekend that get piled up during the week because they work. Just want to say thanks a lot last week for Bart Turulli coming on the show. Another segment regarding financial disaster preparedness. He is a financial advisor with Ameriprise, and he's located out there in Queens. So he's got all his vitals on the webpage, his banner's up there, and just click and scroll down and see what he's got to say for himself. He's an interesting guy. I've taken a good liking to him. I was introduced to him quite a while ago by the producer of this show, Bill. And Bill doesn't have a last name. He's actually from Iceland, like Geesley. Speaking of Geesley, he'll be checking in this week or next week. He'll be checking in a couple of weeks from Pakistan. And, you know, remember, Geesley's got the international NGOs that he works closely with, and they monitor and try to assist on a large scale countries that have large-scale disasters. And how we got on these large-scale disasters, we got it's because of Haiti. And our good friends LP and BP, Little Paul Wagner and Big Paul Sebring, they've been doing the circuit. Like I said, there's been some things out there on Twitter regarding the future of the organization. It's looking bright. There's some good things happening. The guys will be heading back east. They're in different parts of the country right now, in my understanding, and they'll head back east pretty soon to the New York area. And so we got a lot of stuff happening. This weather's been nuts. And I checked in with my buddy Nick Morisi from New Jersey Office of Emergency Management. He's a director of communication down there at the ROC, the New Jersey State Police headquarters, down in South Jersey. I'm gonna give him a call, see if we can get him on the line and talk about what's happening out there with the winter preparedness. He's always on the forefront of getting out the information to the area. Whether it's through the Port Authority that they give out information to, or to the state police, or to the local municipalities, you know, so the guys out there, the first responders, have the right information and being prepared of what they need to do, the next step, the next storm, if you will. So what else we got going on? We do have a guest for next week. One of our guests for next week, and we have a couple possible drop-ins. We're starting to get that way with the show. We've had numerous people on the show, and now they're, you know, we like to take touch base with them periodically, and either they pop into the studio or they call in, see what they're up to. You know, anything new in the world of disaster preparedness. There's a lot of stuff out there. Like I said last week, I get a lot of stuff from the internet, which is good for information. You know, and you have to decipher what's real, what's not, the panic rooms, if you will. Like I said numerous times, this is not a doom and gloom program. The Chicken Little, the sky's not falling, but if it does fall, what are we going to do? So that's what we do here. You know, like I said, we started off with the property, and we still, you know, the core of this of the show is still about talking about how, you know, Harry homeowner or Joe business owner can have the tools to avoid disasters, and if they do happen, you know, take those tools and to utilize them and to execute them into mitigating further issues, you know, regarding their claims, in which we call that in the insurance world or management world or in the city of New York or municipalities in Jersey or out there in the island or up in Westchester. So you can classify it any way you want, but it's generally the same stuff. It's called a claim, called a loss, whichever is convenient. So with our next week's guest, like I was touching on very quickly, is going to be Felix Nader. He's the founder of Nader Associates. Now, I thought it's a very relevant person to have on, considering that tragedy that happened to the Congresswoman Miss Giffords out there in Arizona. His expertise is in workplace violence preparedness. It's right in the forefront. It's been, I think the first that I can really remember is the Columbine thing, you know, about just mass shootings, mass killings. and what are the things that we can have learned from them? Because, you know, you still see, you can scroll through, you know, some of these cable channels and you see some expert talking about Columbine and what they can learn from it and how they can prevent it. And I think sometimes stuff just happens. You know, kids go awry and, you know, the percentages are, you know, they're not with us. There's always going to be something that happens when it does happen. What do you do? What are the actions you take? And so I feel Mr. Nader is going to be talking about that. Everybody's trailing the Giffords, Mr. Kelly, or the husband who's an astronaut. And I mean, it's woman's out there talking to her constituents I think it was a Safeway, and then this nut job. Again, here's talk about preparedness. This guy, there's been red flags all over this guy. But how far can you go and prevent this person from doing what he did? I mean, the college. How far can the college do? They can follow him home, and I mean, they can only go so far without infringing on people's rights. I mean, it is one of the staples of this country is, you know, people have individual rights. And Mr. Nader should be an interesting interview. This is Disaster Recovery Hour. It is Sunday, a little after 11, new time slot, which I'm pretty stoked about. I can get some of my family finally to listen. I've had perfect strangers out there on the comments page and listening to my show, and I can't even get my wife to wake up. But you've heard the stories about my wife. She's fabulous. Now we have the international thing. We have, like I said, Geesley over there in Pakistan. He'll be checking in sometime this upcoming month. Also, we're looking to Skype in Dr. Archie. You guys remember Dr. Archie is from the Living Heart Foundation. Gave us the invitation to follow him down to the Super Bowl. Dr. Archie and I discussed diabetes in this country. I think I mentioned it for a quick snippet last week. And next year or the year following, it's going to be something like 83 million people with some classification of diabetes. I'm not a doctor. He is. That's why we had him on, so we can talk intelligently and expertly. I also want to talk about in the next couple of weeks. There's a close friend of mine. He's also a doctor. He's part of the infectious disease council here in the state of New Jersey. Got a couple of things that about relative with schooling and this meningitis. So I'm hoping that Doc can come on the show. And he can talk about what the schools are doing and what the protocols are being set for cleaning schools or even hospitals, because sometimes it's stuff you can track when you're in a hospital. We also have Tim Falconer, who just went back down to Haiti. You know, to shoot back over to the international stuff. He went back down to Haiti with Wave Place Foundation. We don't know. He's going to Skype in the next couple of weeks. Don't know when. We're hoping all those computers finally got released. I think at this point it's going to be, I think, almost 11 months that they've been held up at the port. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons why Haiti is still in the predicament that they are in. And then also we'll have the updates with the LP and BP, like I said earlier, of the program. Regarding the LP and BP thing, it should be about Haiti itself. I was reading something about there's going to be a conference in London in May regarding building codes worldwide, internationally. Now, I think it's a good idea, but I really think countries themselves should handle this. It's just my opinion. And I'll tell you why. The United States has, you have every region. You have snow, you have beach, you have the plains, you have, you know, flat major mountain ranges. You know, not all countries are encompass that. So for some, a council should make recommendations, but, you know, it's almost like here in Jersey, the municipalities, there's the New Jersey State Uniform Code for construction. But it has to be also modified to a degree per town or per municipality, and which leads me to a really funny article, and it's really so American too, because the article is about natural disasters in our country, and there was a news guy who was down in Katrina, and he was interviewing a person from the Ninth Ward who just got blown out, the entire house, the foundation, you know what happened down there. Everybody knows what happened down there. But so he's interviewing this woman, And the woman says to him, how long you been here? Were you here before it hit or just got here after? So he starts giving her a little BG, a little background on when he got there and what he's been doing since then. But she said, where are you from? And he said, well, California. She says, oh, my God, how can you stand living out there? I mean, with the earthquakes and the fires, you know, so it's kind of funny. You know, here's a woman who just survived, you know, top five disasters in the history of this country, you know, of all time. And she's almost implying that she's more thankful to have this hurricane than some crazy earthquake. And so, you know, talk about California. I mean, they run the gamut. Earthquakes. You have lightning strikes starting all those forest fires. You have mudslides. You have, you have the possibility of tsunamis. You know, they don't have tornadoes, and they don't have hurricanes, but they got their own bag of tricks of natural disasters out there. With that said, you know what? I didn't answer a question a couple of weeks ago from on the comments page about the number of NGOs down in Haiti. There are a lot, hundreds and hundreds of them, not thousands, but hundreds. And you know what? There isn't. We talked about this several times. There isn't any coordination efforts to get everybody to play together, because that's why it's not double dipping as much as it's double up on the same services. So let's go to a break and we'll pick it up. There's plenty of disasters happening out there, so let's talk. Be right back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
So we're back. We're back from a station break and a commercial break. And my guest today is Michael Venetis. He's the founder of the PrepRoom.net. The site is along what we've been preaching here at the show. It's about having toolkits and supplies for emergencies and disasters that occur unexpectedly in his life, and also with he's got some other items on the site that you can check out that you can purchase, and you know, that can fill your personal needs or your professional needs, whether you have a business to take care of or your home. Everybody's got something to take care of. Mike, I'm glad that you can join us.
Yeah, Chris, thanks for having me on the show.
So, Mike, you're the founder of the PrepRoom.net, and how'd you get into this crazy business?
Yeah, you know, it's I used to be one of those guys who, when people were talking about being prepared for a disaster, I was kind of the person who thought they were just paranoid and kind of on the crazy side. The more I learn and the more I listen to the news, my wife and I got to a point where, like, wow, there's a bunch of crazy things going on in this world, and we're not really ready for it. So really, it just, you know, coming up with this idea of selling emergency preparedness supplies first came out of our own need, where we recognized that we're just highly ill prepared for really anything. I don't even know if we owned a flashlight at the time. And so as we started, you know, building, creating our own emergency preparedness, you know, supply and stock, and talking to other people, realizing that there's a lot of people out there who just are not prepared for anything. And not only are they not prepared for things, they don't even know the things that they aren't prepared for, you know.
Not knowing that they don't know.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So, with that said, you're talking to your wife, and you talked about flashlights, whatever. It was my every 3 quarters, every 3 months, I should say, I get a whole new set of batteries, regardless.
Yeah.
Again, and you're right about those people must be crazy about this preparedness stuff, and I was the same way. Totally. And then I got into the emergency service business and going to people's homes or businesses after fires and floods and anything, a car through a building, trees through buildings, how business owners and homeowners, whether they're, you know, blue collar or white collar, but, you know, really unprepared. And you know what, that simple thing of having a flashlight, I always do a check in my house. I got little guys, so I got kids, and they play, and the cousins and whatnot.
Right.
I can't find a flashlight. You know, I'm constantly on the hunt for a flashlight. You know, it's always, it's what it was, some of those movies talk about, you know, the father's always knocking the door, get out of the bathroom. I'm always saying, where's your flashlight? Because I have it in the back of their doorknobs.
I know what you're talking about. And I, you know, again, I learned the hard way about not being prepared. I mean, I remember several years ago, we went through a couple of power outages that, you know, end up being very expensive. You know, we had two big refrigerators full of food and you know, that was probably $500-$600 just in food that we threw away and all these different things, missing work. And so you know, I got to a point where, like, wow, if I had a generator, you know, I could have not only saved myself a lot of money, but also just the inconvenience and hassle. So yeah, it was a bunch of experiences like that that I personally went through and came to the conclusion that, boy, it's a lot better if you're actually prepared for some of these things.
Yeah, yeah. If you just joined us, this is the Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. My guest today is Michael Venetis. He's the founder of ThePrepRoom.net, and some of the people out there listening, Prep Room, we're not talking about a funeral home. We're talking about emergency supplies and kits and lights, and it encompasses so many things. Now, on your website, and you said, how long you've been doing this now?
Well, it's, you know, the website is coming up on a year, but we've been, you know, before having the website, we've been doing stuff, you know, just face-to-face with different groups and people.
So face-to-face, what is a face-to-face for you?
Well, face-to-face was really, you know, it started out with just our circle of friends and family, and then, you know, just saying, you know, we actually, like I said, we got to a point where we were not prepared for lots of different things. And so just doing the research on our own and then sharing that with friends and family. And so it was just kind of almost more of a part-time thing for us. Where we were just helping, you know, friends and family out. And then we just got to a point where, like, wow, this is, you know, I think this we should go kind of full-time with this and make this our core business.
Right. I mean, it's almost like, and I always equate it to like a public service announcement. You would, you know, it's like one vote, you know, one person vote. I mean, look at all the close elections the last couple of years, you know, it's, you know, separated by a couple of votes. So, you know, just so supplying something or the knowledge or physical supplies to a person, then they're prepared. You know, just that one person could have had something where they could have had an experience in their past lives. And then, you know, all of a sudden you're talking about it, just like, oh, my God, you know what I did? I had that kitchen fire or I had the flood from the guy from the third floor. And I didn't have this. I didn't have that. It's for me, it's very gratifying when I go onto this job. So I spend probably more time than I should. You know, time is money. But there's a lot of people, you know, in the dark physically and in the dark because they don't know that, our industry exists, really. The government's done a great job, whether – I don't care what state you're from. It's a collective bargaining on the – not collective bargaining, but a collective consensus with the states getting out the, you know, make a plan, get a kit, that kind of stuff. So let's go back to the websites. What are the things that you're seeing, the items are being sold on a daily basis or a monthly basis? Or does it go with the seasons? How do you monitor that?
Sure, yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of our human nature that we don't, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And so until something actually happens to us or someone we know close to us, that's when we start thinking about things. And, you know, it takes a small fire for somebody to say, oh, I maybe now's a good time to start buying a fire extinguisher, or, you know. And so it's, you know, generators, you know, happen to be one thing that, you know, in the Chicago area where I'm from, we experienced a lot of power outages this summer. So that was, there was a spike in the sale of generators. Emergency food is a big thing now.
Mm-hmm.
This is for a couple of reasons. You know, there's, you know, the economy obviously is just horrible right now. And it's, you know, from all indicators that I track, it's not getting better anytime soon. And so there's a lot of people who are finally getting on board with that. And they realize that, you know, they're starting to see they're starting to see friends and family who are losing their jobs and who've been struggling for a while. You know, I don't care if there's reports saying unemployment's, you know, getting better. It I don't see it happening. So what a lot of people are doing is starting to stock up on food. You know, we carry a whole line of Mountain House freeze-dried and dehydrated food, which is great for, you know, it's compact. It lasts, you know, in some cases, it has a shelf life of 30 years. And that's good for someone like me because I like to just buy something, have it there, and not have to worry about, you know, rotating the food out and, you know, having some sort of first-in, first-out system. And although that's good for canned goods and that sort of thing.
Right.
But you know, food inflation, food prices are going up. And so it just makes sense for a lot of people that they go out and stock up on food and other items that they know they're going to eventually use. And so you might as well buy it now while the prices are still lower and while the dollar hasn't completely lost its value.
You're right. Well, you know, you talk about the economy. There's a lot of things that encompasses the disasters of, with correlations to the economy, and one of them is obviously is food. So, like, it's the freeze dried. It's not the MRTs, you know, like they have the military. It's a bit not as hot and brown and you heat it up and you move on. It's got a little more taste to it, correct?
Oh yeah, no, they have some great meals. The MREs, those are. You know, those are important too for more of a kind of a grab and go scenario where mm-hmm. you have to evacuate your home in a hurry because of a fire or flood or something. But yeah, the other, you know, the freeze dried foods, you know, there's some pretty good meals in there.
If you just joined us, this is Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Saturday between 7 and 8 a.m. Today, my guest is Michael Benetes. Mike is the founder of thepreproom.net. Check out the website. But getting back to the basic emergency preparedness supplies, Mike, what are you seeing that your hits and people are asking for you, you know, to ship out to them? What are you seeing?
Yeah, so you know, there's there's a whole bunch of different places that you can go to get a list of, you know, what a basic emergency supply kit should look like. Just by going to ready.gov, which is, you know, the Homeland Security site, they have some great lists that you can pull out. But, you know, food and water's if everybody should have, for every family member, at least 1 gallon of water per day, and you should have at least 3 days of drinking water. Same thing with food, at least 3 days of food. Mm. And then, you know, just there's other things like having a hand crank radio or something where you can recharge. We offer some radios where you can, you know, plug in your cell phone and hand crank. There's a hand crank to charge it up. You know, that's great if the power goes out. Flashlights with extra batteries, first aid kit. Having just, you know, something as simple as a whistle. You know,
right.
Get a whistle,
yeah,
for, I don't know, 89 cents, and that could save your life. You know, yeah, help rescue workers find you.
Sure.
A whole bunch of things. And aside from the basic stuff, you know, what I would encourage everybody to look at are, you know, what happens if you had to evacuate the home, you know, right now, you had just a couple minutes to leave. Would you have everything you need in one spot in the house where you can just grab it and go? Do you have, you know, medications for your kids or you?
Hmm. It's kind of the broken record thing. Mike and I got to pick up wherever we just left off. We're going to go to station break and pay some bills with commercials and be right back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And we're back. This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Today's guest is Mike Benetes. Mike's the founder of thepreproom.net. It's a great website in our industry. On the East Coast, I know a lot of guys in the industry, but since I've had the show, I'm getting to meet guys with the same type of passion that I have and the sense of urgency of, you know, making the public aware or even, you know, the individuals or the business owners on some of the things they should just naturally possess. I mean, business owner, you have paper, you have a copy machine. Why don't you have a fire extinguisher? I saw that you had a kit for the car, and this is huge. I mean, you guys get a lot more snow than we do, so being prepared, driving with our traffic in both of these biggest metropolitan areas in the country, what is encompasses in your kits for the cars?
Yeah, so we have several car kits that you know, really just have everything that you would need if your car were to break down, and you know, everything from the obvious things like jumper cables, you know, first aid kit, flashlight with batteries, fire extinguisher, and then things like a solar blanket where, you know, some of the things are, we have them where they don't take up a lot of space, but, you know, they come in real handy when you need it. Duct tape even, you know, there's duct tape, there's a thousand uses for duct tape. And so there's, you know, it's designed where everybody kind of knows what they should have at home,
yeah, right,
what they should have in the car, but it's just taking the time to even, you know, you can go to the web and say, okay, well, today I'm going to go look for a fire extinguisher for my car, but, you know, we just kind of keep on pushing it off and to go out and take the time to buy each one of these things individually. Most people just don't have that time, so we kind of, it's kind of a one-stop shop where you can get a whole kit and you don't have to worry about anything else.
Well, you know what? Kids roll their eyes when I talk about, you know, we'll be eating dinner or, I don't know, shooting hoops, and I'll just blurt out, okay, we have a fire in the back bedroom. Where are you going? You know, like, oh my God, here he goes again. You know, so yeah, I'm a realist. I'm not a panic guy. I don't think, you know, nowadays with mold, I don't think mold is killing everybody, but do I think there's hazards to it? Sure there is. I think there's validity to a lot of stuff out here, mm-hmm. and out there, if you will, in TV land, radio land. But it's, you know, as I think Americans, we get just jammed up with daily. Okay, who's going to football practice? Who's going to basketball practice? That the little things that you take for granted, the half hour to relax, you might be better off saying, you know what? Let me go to some major store and get myself a little fire extinguisher. Even stick it in the car. You know, that could be part of your kit for the car.
Yeah.
I think the car kit is a great idea. So, but people can get on the website. They can pretty much get everything they want. Or could they modify it?
Well, a lot of the items that we do have in the kit, we do sell individually too. So, yeah, there could be somebody who comes to the site and they already have a handful of supplies and they just want to add to it, so they can go that route. Or, like I said, we have kind of the one stop shop. There's a handful of different survival kits that have different things in them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think, you know, and I think what you touched on about, you know, with your family, where, you know, almost like a game, but saying, you know, okay, if there's a fire, what do you do? That's one of the most important things I think somebody can do. Just thinking through a disaster. There was a book that I read, I think it was the Survivors Club. Ben Sherwood, I believe, is the author's name, and he was talking about how people have short-term memory and then long-term memory, and what happens in a disaster is if you don't have a plan in your short-term memory, in other words, if the last time you thought about what the fire evacuation plan is for your home was 10 years ago, when there's a fire, people just freeze up. They become just frozen because their mind is searching their short-term memory for what to do, and there's nothing there, and so they panic, and that's why a lot of people, I forgot what the number is, but most people who are in some sort of disaster who perish, they shouldn't have. You know, there was an easy way out in a lot of cases, but because they froze because of their not knowing what to do, that's the biggest thing. And so, you know, my biggest encouragement would be, you know, on a weekly basis, do what you're doing, and just, you know, with your family or even at work, just saying, if this were to happen right now, what would I do? And if the answer is I don't know what I would do, then you know, buy some books, go to the library. We've got some great books on our site, mm-hmm. about how to deal with economic collapse or, you know, all sorts of things.
Right. And, you know, and well, we're going to be touching on the economic disasters in a couple of weeks. If you just join us, this is Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, and here in the Apple, AM 970. Mike Venentes is my guest today. He's the founder of The Prep Room. Maybe you can make it a game, maybe you can't. But, I mean, obviously, disasters are serious stuff, and they come in many forms, you know. You have, you know, I'm not saying fire is glamorous, but it's more, you know, people see a fire in a car or a car wreck, you know, like they're all glued to it. It's just human nature. But the funny thing, ironic thing, I should say, about, you know, the fires is when we had Fire Prevention Week, what I really think should be Fire Prevention Month, it came from the Great Chicago Fire. That's how that got implemented in this country. It's been, 80, 90 years old that that once a week or once a month that they talk about it. But, you know, we depend on our government to be prepared. You know, we're always like, well, how come they didn't know about this and how come they didn't know about that? You know what? There's probably a lot of stuff I don't want to know about, that they let them do their job, you know. So, but you could, if you know, not lean on your government so much as and just lean on yourself and say, you know what, I got the ABCs of my kit, or this is what I need where I live. I might not need sand or kitty litter for snow because I don't have snow where I live. I might need something else.
Yeah.
So let's talk about things that are, you know, economics, and you know, we don't, no one has, and you know, very few people have an extra $100 for this or that, the other thing. Some of the cheaper, or I shouldn't say cheaper, what are the affordable ways of getting prepared? What are some of your ideas on that?
Yeah, so, you know, and before I do, just to touch on what you said about the government, people are relying on the government to take care of them. You know, that's kind of a scary thing, because you're right that we do depend on, you know, we think that if there's some sort of disaster in our area that, you know, help is on its way, and that's not always the case. I mean, eventually help will be on the way, whether it's the you know, FEMA or Red Cross or whatever. Eventually somebody comes, but the problem is, are they going to get there before you're not around anymore? You know, Hurricane Katrina was a great example of we just didn't get there quick enough, and sometimes it's because we can't get there quick enough, and there could be disasters that prevent people from making it to your area. So that's why it's so important for people to be self-sufficient and to be able to, whether it's just a grab-and-go survival kit or whatever it is, but to not rely on anybody and say, hey, if something happens, no one's going to take care of me but me.
Right.
And I think that's the attitude that people have to start going through.
So what are some of the affordable things that people can put in their car or even put in their house?
Yeah, you know, the first thing is to get the list, to figure out what you actually need. And then, you know, what I say is the first thing that you should do is kind of do a full inventory of your life. And what I mean by that is look at what you actually possess, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, half the stuff that you would want in a survival kit, you actually already own. It's just a matter of finding it.
Right.
And so what I would encourage you to do is go through the house, look through the basement, your garage, whatever it is, and look for the things that you would want in a kit. And then actually build a kit with that. Put everything in one spot, so if something happens, you're not, you know, spending an hour, you know, rifling through everything looking for your supplies. But as far as getting the supplies itself on the cheap, you know, first of all, water. You can just use tap water and just bottle it. You know, what we started doing a while back was just taking the 2-liter bottles of pop and sterilizing the bottles and then filling them up with water and storing those.
That's a great idea.
We, you know, not over the summer, we were, we actually had a garage sale, and as I was putting stuff out, all of a sudden I realized, I'm like, wait a minute, why are we selling this? I could use this. And I, you know, there was a couple old suitcases that I'm like, this would be great for, you know, storing our stuff in. So, just taking the inventory of what you have, and then whatever items are left over that you don't have, you know, doing things and stuff, paying full price at a store, finding them on Craigslist or, you know, eBay or garage sales, yard sales, that sort of thing. There's a new site I discovered not too long ago called FreeCycle, where people in your area, you can join a group in your local area and just give stuff away, and it's kind of a barter system, if you will, where you can give stuff away, and then if you see something you need, you can take it. So there's a lot of things like that you can do. You know, making sure that clothes that you buy are not super trendy, but things that are, you know,
practical,
the classic stuff that won't go out of style next year.
Right.
And just saving money.
God knows, as Americans, I'm sure we want to look stylish as there's a water flooding down from the apartment building above us.
Yeah.
We're at a fire. Does my shoes match my bag?
Right. Yeah, I write a blog a couple times a month, and I get some feedback that, you know, someone will say, you know, I read your first, you know, last three blogs, and now this fourth one, it's all coming together. Like, I'm feeling convicted that I need to start doing something to take care of my family. So the website, again, is theprepperoom.net, or you can also call us 1-800-266-1472. And, you know, also we're on Facebook. If you... to all the listeners, if you go on our fan, or, well, they don't call it a fan page anymore, but our Facebook page, it's The Prep Room. You can sign up and or hit the like button, and you can get a free 10% off coupon on any purchase.
Oh, that's cool.
Purchase. Yeah.
We're going to go to station break, and we'll be right back.
Thanks, Chris.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
And we're back from a station break. Listen, we did the station break, but prior to that, middle segments were pre-recorded with Mike Venentes from theprepperoom.net. Now, we ran that segment because it's relevant to what's happening in the last couple of weeks with our snowstorms. And I wanted to re-up that show and, you know, get some traction off that, because he had a lot of good stuff on his website. But, you know, we talked about a lot of stuff that's happening, that's been happening the last couple of weeks with these snowstorms, and that is the lack of people with kits in their car getting stranded. And you know what? If you don't want to have a kit, have a shovel, okay? Just the other day, I had to go into the city. We personally had to take care of something in the hospital with my wife. No big deal. But we stayed overnight, and in between that, they had the snowstorm that's supposed to be a couple inches, that it was going to rain, and a couple more inches, and wind up coming out to, you know, like 19 inches in Central Park. Long Island got whacked again, Staten Island, Jersey, blah, 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 so on and so forth. So we were doing some other stuff, and then Bill and I discussed about, you know, the snowstorms, and I said, you know what, I think we should really, really hammer that one with Venentes. So anyway, that's why you heard that this past two segments on that, because, you know, you gotta pound, you know, learn your ABCs. So that's why we ran that segment, and again, I think it's important every once in a while, just like even with Captain Dan with the electric and the power outages and Chief Fedorchuk. This time of year, and you know, we're at 55 inches, so we're not even halfway through the season yet, and we're due for more snow. I mean, obviously it's going to snow more, but just when and how much is yet to be determined. When I was telling you about at the beginning of the show, I get these emails from people, and they give me updates on what they're doing in their part of the country for preparedness, and it's fabulous, you know, especially the Facebook. The Facebook is crazy with a lot of different OEM guys and fire departments and municipalities throughout this country. You know, they have their open nights and some of the things that they teach their local citizens. But I got one the other day regarding pets with the winter months. Again, you know what? Those little four-legged friends and even, you know, birds and things like that, you know what? They're part of the family. They need to be taken care of. I know we talked about it months ago about being prepared for pets. I will throw a little plug out there for my friend Paul Faust. He was on last week. Paul gets jacked up. He and I go do some bantering back and forth about preparedness and experiences that we both have had. So anyway, with this email I got was about the pets and winter months and preparing them for, you know, put a little booties on them. But here's the thing. We're talking about, you know, in the summertime, the springtime, and even the fall, you know, you can take your dog or your cat and stick them under your arm and just get out of the house. But do you actually have carry-ons? So what comes on the heels a day later after this email is a woman in Jersey who rescues cats, if you will. She's an animal rescuer. They had a fire. And a lot of cats died, unfortunately, like 30 or something like that died. And I was thinking, and then it made me think about, you know, there's carry-ons, and there's a ton of carry-ons out there that can house numerous cats, numerous small dogs. And so, you know, I'm not saying she could have got all those cats out. That's not what I'm going at all. I'm not passing judgment or anything. I think it's fabulous that she's rescuing stray animals or abused animals like that. But you know, with the blizzard of December 27th, whenever we had a couple days after Christmas, you know, everybody's hammering New York City for not being prepared. And I don't know. I mean, they did a good job, I thought. I think all the local towns, I mean, I travel every single day around this place. I mean, I probably do a couple hundred miles a day on my car from one job to the next. And, you know, there are some small side streets that get buried in, and you know, when I think percentages, that's just going to happen. Not to say that my street didn't get buried, but, you know, did a fair amount of shoveling myself. I don't mind doing that. If you just join us, this is Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host every week at AM 970 The Apple, talking New York. It's on Sundays now at 11 o'clock. Anyway, being prepared on the winter months, we're not out of the woods yet on this thing, so that's why I thought bringing in Mike Venentes was a good thing. And here's another thing: three people in my neighborhood ice damming. Okay, take a look at your gutters. We talked about it in the fall. We talked about it at the beginning of the winter. You know what ice damming is? Okay, it's the gutters are improperly maintained. You have water and snow buildup, shoots right back underneath the sheathing, enters the house, sheetrock problems, water inside the cavity of the walls, all those types of things. I got several in the last week because of the deep cold weather that we did get. Again, there are some things you can prevent by doing your maintenance, and maintenance goes into the preparedness world. So those things that you need to address. So one other thing, you know, with the sewer system, you know, outside, if you're outside your house or maybe halfway down your block in between your neighbors, you have the sewer grate, make it clear. You know, clear, because if it gets clogged up with the snow, because what we're having is heavy snow, then it's freezing, then it thaws out a little bit, so you have some extra water, then it freezes again, then you have snow on top of that. That stuff can go right, rolling right back up into your lawn and then towards your house, into your foundation, seepage, not a covered loss. So next week, like I said, we're going to have Felix Nader. He's a consultant, the Nader Associates, regarding violence in the workplace, and we want to talk about the Gifford situation. So wrapping it up, again, winter months, let's just check... check your sump pumps, because we're having the up and downs with the weather. Your gutters, your house in a hole. Also, your vehicle. You know, if you're not going to have a kit, get at least a little shovel in there. Save the taxpayers a lot of money by us with all these multiple vehicles stranded on the highway. So I appreciate you guys tuning in. So wrapping it up, one last thing, as always, let's end the war, bring home our troops, the men and women. God bless our country, and enjoy the rest of the weekend. Take care. Be safe out there.
You've been listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, from CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. You can reach Chris by calling 201-483-8953. And don't forget to tune in every Saturday morning at 7 for the Disaster Recovery Hour, right here on AM 970, The Apple.